guys. I can't wait to talk to our guest because, you know what, this is the first time that I'm talking to her, and I've been following her all over social media. She's a wonderful HR professional and wonderful recruiter. So you better stay tuned to Drive to HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And if you are listening to Drive to HR and would like to ask any questions to our wonderful guest, tweet your question with the hashtag DTHR, and we will be able to pull that up. So, without further ado, let me welcome Erin Stevens. Erin, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for letting me come on today. I appreciate it.
Well, excited to have you here with us today. So, Erin, you know the drill. You know, at Drive Through HR, you have listened to many of our shows. So, this is your first time at Drive Through HR. So, why don't you kick off the show by giving a brief intro of who you are and what you do, so that our audience can connect with you?
Okay. Well, I'm a recruiter, and I work in Louisville, Kentucky, in the southern Indiana Louisville area. And I work currently I work for a staffing agency doing Talus Group, that's our name. We're a small regional staffing agency doing different job areas, but I primarily focus on a lot of legal recruiting. So that involves, you know, attorneys and legal secretaries and legal assistants and paralegals. And occasionally I pick up some random things like IT, or doing IT managers, or random other positions that, you know, our clients call and ask us to fill. So let's see what else. I also am I'm also a jazzercise instructor. Have you ever jazzercised before?
No, not at all. Tell me more about it.
Do you know what jazzercise is?
Not at all, please.
Not at all.
Please help
okay.
me.
So jazzercise.
Yeah, tell me more about it.
Sure. A lot of people probably envision Jane Fonda in like leg warmers, like dancing around. It's mm-hmm. definitely not like that anymore. It's basically like an hour of cardio and strength. And I'm an instructor, so we have, you know, certain, you know, songs that we go through, and it's mostly, you know, top 40 stuff you hear on the radio. And basically I kick your butt for an hour and make you go home and wish you didn't eat that donut in the morning.
I'm actually Googling that. So it is all about, you know, aerobic exercise and dance fitness. So I'm sure you've got tons and tons of energy, right?
Oh, yeah, just a ton. Actually, I don't think I'm that energetic, but a lot of my friends and people I work with would say I am. But, yeah, I have to do, you know, something that to take the edge off when I want to, you know, when I have a crazy day at work or something like that. And that's my release. So that's about it.
Wow.
Yeah, recruiting and jazzercising my little heart away.
Uh-huh. That's actually interesting. I should pretty much try this because, you know what, when I go to our nearby gym, that is LA Fitness, I normally go to Zumba. So this is kind of an exercise where we can, you know, relax and then get back to our happy mood or whatever you can call.
Yeah.
So that is on my list.
You got to
be
physically healthy to, you know, deal with some of the crazy people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. So.
Sure. Thanks for that heads up.
Yeah.
So, Erin, tell our audience, what's keeping you up at night these days?
Gosh, I would have to say that if you've ever worked in HR in general, you know that people keep you up at night. Like, wondering what they're going to do next or what they're going to say next, or, you know, people just keep me up at night because I deal with people day to day.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I just find kind of frustrating is the fact that people don't know how to really sell themselves, or they oversell themselves.
Yeah.
So, for example, I'll get, you know, candidates who send me their resume in and they have, like, what I call fluff on their resume. They have, like, and I actually just wrote a blog post about this. We actually got a resume in that was, like, 100 and something pages long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no joke. So, you know, just people need to know that, you know, they need to really try to sell themselves but not oversell themselves. Does that make sense?
Oh, Indeed. Oh, you know what? 100 pages. This is actually, I'm hearing it for the first time, that somebody has submitted a resume with 100 pages.
Yeah, it was like 100-something pages. Like, we were like,
they should have written a book.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, probably not the sanest of people, but, you know, it's those type of people that I want to, like, help and be like, here, let me help you get a job, but there's just not enough time in the day, and, you know, this is why people, you know, charge money to do this. Like, you know, for example, I think I'll give a shout out to Chris Fields. I follow him quite a bit on Twitter and Instagram, and he's, you know, that's what he does. He helps people with their resumes, and that's exactly what people need. You know, if I didn't like him so much, I'd go into business myself, just fixing up resumes. And, you know, I do quite a bit anyways, helping out people on the side, and I am going to have to charge at some point. And, you know, we do it here at work, so professionally for others if they're really looking into it. But, yeah, that's something that keeps me up too. So,
So you know what? Sometimes people can be dumb, but sometimes they don't really know. They haven't been in that shoes of, you know, making their resumes and then putting it in a way that gets more attention or that gets noticed by a recruiter. So as a recruiter, what would you suggest to our candidates? How do you normally screen that resume and then find your candidates? Tell that, and then I'm sure that would be a great help for our audience who are really seeking for a job.
Right. So if, you know, if you're looking for a position, if you're unemployed, you know, definitely go seek out, you know, your local, you know, like Work One, like we call it Work One, or any type of workforce readiness that you can. And ask advice, you know, ask people, hey, can you look over my resume? Hey, you know, do you know of someone that can help me out? And if you're definitely unemployed, a staffing agency is the way to go, in my opinion. Now, I come from in-house recruiting. Like I, you know, prior to working for a staffing firm, you know, I did in-house for retail, large retail and nonprofit, and did like direct support stuff. And I would like hated staffing firms. I was like, oh no, I'd never use a staffing firm. You know, I just whatever. But staffing firms are great if you're unemployed because you can go in and they are recruiters who see resumes every day and they will tweak your resume for you because they need you at that point in time. So you know, they need you to fill a position, and recruiters, you know, we can see kind of through, you know, if you send us a bad resume, we can kind of see through and see the good in it and then help you fix that, if that makes sense. So definitely if you're unemployed, I highly recommend going to a staffing or temp firm, because it could be, you know, you have something temp to perm and you can move into permanent placement through there. And you know, another thing is recruiters, you got to be, you know, they will be your greatest ally in things. You know, if you're, you know, wanting more information about a client, you know, they can give you that information because they've worked with that client. Or if you're needing help negotiating a salary, they've done this before. They can help you, you know, do that. So I guess don't make an enemy of your recruiter. You know, Forbes just put out a great article. I believe it was yesterday or the day before, and I believe I tweeted about it. But Forbes was talking about how you really need to, like, have a relationship with your recruiter and essentially not screw over your recruiter because, you know, it could be one day, you know, if you – for example, you know, recruiters are normally contingency paid. So the client pays the recruiter.
Correct.
So if you, you know, say I go up to a candidate and I say, oh, I have this company they're looking for, you know, an HR manager, and the person goes, oh, great, you know, yeah, I'll get with you, and then they go around and apply behind your back, you know, and so that they cut you out of that fee essentially, or try to communicate with the client on their own, that's kind of a, oh, we're not going to touch you again. But if you're really in need of a job and you try to go back to that recruiter who you screwed over the first time, is that recruiter going to want to really work with you? Right. No, probably not.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is true. And we may never know who knows who, and recruiters are the one who are closely working with HR and then managers who are looking to fill that position. So
that, you know, that can definitely be frustrating, especially from the recruiter side, because you're like, oh, I'm working so hard and they were so perfect and, oh, they slipped through my fingers.
All right. All right. Tell me some of your experiences, maybe some of that awkward moments. You know, we normally say that don't break any bridges. So especially that to your point, what were some of the awkward moments or frustrating moments that you had with the candidates?
With the candidates, I think one of the weird things, when you're a recruiter and you have, you know, a candidate come in to you, sometimes you have to give them the come to Jesus talk. Like, you know, and I do this a lot with, you know, I guess people who, they come to me and they're like, oh, you know, I would love to be a rocket scientist. And but their grades and are like in math and science are like D's. You know what I mean? And they're like, no, but I really, really want to be a rocket scientist. You got to kind of have to look at them and go, come on, let's really, you know, let's logically help you see that there's no way at this point in time that you're going to be a rocket scientist. You know what I'm saying? Or I had one candidate who looked good on paper, came in, tested with me, and I thought, oh, this person's going to be great. And their test scores were horrible, like horrible. Like, you know, to do certain things, you have to have certain scores. And I had to look at this person and go, you know, I really can't do anything with you because you've only worked one place. And, yes, you've worked there for a while, but you didn't diversify yourself at all. And your test scores are just nobody's going to want to look at you. And they just looked at me and they're like, yes, they will. They'll love me. And I was like, well, yeah, no, sorry, I can't. I said, you know, and then you have to do the whole, you know, well, let me, you know, I'll keep your information. If, you know, you're just not a good fit at this time. You know, my favorite, you know, every recruiter's favorite phrase to tell someone. Just not a good fit. But, yeah, that can kind of get awkward. And then I feel bad for the person, you know, because genuinely, I think they're a nice person. They're just not going to make it in that particular field. So,
absolutely. And sometimes candidates, they are not good enough to probably evaluate themselves. That may be one of the reasons that they are overselling themselves, as you said in the beginning. So from your experience, you know, what you are dealing with legal recruiting, and I'm sure I don't remember that any of our show that has talked about legal recruiting. So I'm really, really interested to dig deep into that area of recruiting. So normally, how do you screen candidates when it comes to legal recruiting, and where do you get your candidates from?
Oh, it depends. So, you know, as far as getting candidates, you know, normal routes of people applying and, you know, searching online and, you know, social media and different things like that. So a lot of, you know, you always get candidates in that way. You post a job, they apply, you get a resume. And for me, though, personally, it's always been networking and word of mouth. So if I work with one particular legal assistant, help them get a position, they'll send me one or two of their other friends who are looking to get out or looking to, you know, change jobs. So then I can kind of, you know, dance around that if they're a good candidate or not, et cetera. And with the legal assistants and paralegals, you know, that's pretty just direct. You know, it's kind of transactional. They apply, I check them out. I also participate in other networking events with them. And just basically getting myself out there and having them like me. I love how that's part of a recruiter's job. You have to get people to like you because they'll want to work with you then, which I do a decent job of. So I must be doing something right.
I'm sure you are.
And then, you know, with attorneys, it's a little different because I don't know if it's just here, but here in the Louisville, Kentucky and Southern Indiana area, it's all about who you know. So, you know, some firms don't want to, you know, say that they have a position available because they don't want to, you know, appear to be weak, or, you know, they may not have the business at the moment and they just don't want anybody to know, so they're going to, you know, let somebody go. But it's all about, you know, oh, I heard that, you know, such and such firm is hiring, you know, an attorney, or, oh, I've heard such and such firm is doing this or that. Or, you know, here, too, we also put out, I don't know, if usually like Chamber of Commerce's, or we have something called like Business First. They put out, you know, different articles daily on, you know, companies that are growing or who's coming into town, which is also good for recruiters and people to look at, because then, you know, oh, they might need help, you know, hiring someone. So, yeah, it's kind of on the DL.
So, that's great. You're on good path. So do you normally get many references, then you get postings or applicants applying for job through social media?
I kind of get half and half, I would say. Mm-hmm. When I first started, now I've just been in my current position for about eight or 9 months now, but when I first started, it was, you know, seeing who we've already worked with and just getting them, you know, the plain old Jane of applying, you know, through us type thing. But then, you know, as you get involved and actually help candidates find, you know, and place them in fields, you know, or particular companies, then they refer their friends. Oh, Erin, you were so great to work with. You know, I have Jane over here, and she's looking for a new job. I'm going to tell her to connect with you. So it's kind of, you know, back and forth, because, you know, a lot of, with any job hunt, you know, if you're still employed, you know, usually your boss or whoever has no idea you're looking. So a lot of it has to be on the DL. And confidentiality is key too. You know, if these people don't trust me, and the fact that, you know, I'm not going to blab, oh, hey, I'm working with Joe, you know, over here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fine line too, you know, with doing that as well, because it's hard if you're not wanting them to know you're looking for a position, but then again, you're wanting to apply. And I don't know if you ever, probably not. Have you ever been familiar with like a small town mentality?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
I got you.
If you have like that small town type of thing, which everybody knows everybody. Like my husband makes
exactly.
fun of me, because we'll go out to dinner or something, and I'll probably see two or three people I know in the hour and a half that we're out. He'll be like, "My God, you know everyone." I was like, "Yeah." Well, that's the same with job hunting. You've got to be careful of who you're talking to about what. So. That can get a little stressful at times, especially if you're balancing multiple candidates and, you know, who's going where and who wants to do this and who you can say or not say anything to. It's definitely, it's fun. It's a game.
Yeah.
I play the game.
It's a game.
So.
And you play the game very well, because you said you do a best job of candidates liking you or candidates approaching you. So as a recruiter, tell our audience or give our audience your tips when it comes to providing a great candidate experience, so that candidates will come and connect with you, and then when they are searching for a job, they will surely want to work with you.
Okay. So from the very beginning, you know, people will, you know, apply. And I'm a millennial kid, so I am all about, I like email. And it's quick and it's easy, and you can, you know, set up things real quick. So I always try to, you know, as soon as I get something in my inbox, I'll, you know, email them back within at least 24 hours. Or even if I can't use them, you know, give them a, hey, listen, I'll hold on to you. You know, I might be able to use you later, or no, you know, but feel free to connect with me on social media. You know, try to set up some sort of connection, because you may need them later on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I try to do that. And then if they're a candidate I like, now I'm a real, and this plays for with me and against me in my professional life, I can tend to be very laid back and very approachable, and sometimes that can be taken as being too laid back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I'll be like, you know, hey, you know, or one thing we kind of joke about is I'm a real, hey, how you doing, you know, type person. So in emails, I'll start, you know, hey, such and such, how are you doing? And it's like, oh, that's, you know, a little too informal. Let's, you know, hi, how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
So, but for me that works, you know, getting candidates comfortable with me is important because once they're comfortable, then they'll tell me, you know, the real reason why they left, you know, the job at the widget factory, you know, is it because they were let go or it just wasn't a good fit? And then they can trust me to help them spin that in some way to make it work for their advantage. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because candidates, they are relying on you because their life is with you when it comes to getting a job that they are
right.
dreaming about for a longer period of time. And for you especially, you know, by seeing your profile pictures all over, you know, you are really an approachable person, a friendly person, so they know that. But then when they interact with you, does that experience replicate over here or not? That's what they are searching for. So talking about candidate experience, you know, you screen the resume and then you call that candidate to come for a one-on-one interview and he is talking with you and he is meeting you for the first time. How do you make it easier for him to, you know, open up?
Right. So, you know, I'll meet them and I'll be like, hey, you know, hi, I'm Erin. You know, come on back into my office. And I always want to, I like shutting the door because, one, my ADD kicks in, like, major if there's other people outside. And two, I feel like it makes them feel like, oh, it's just you and me. You're, you know, part of my time. You're important to me, et cetera. Because sometimes they can, you know, feel like they're just getting passed through. We don't want them to do that. At least that's how I would, you know, if I were going through a staffing agency and, you know, I felt like I wasn't being felt, you know, if I wasn't being treated special, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'm just another person. So, you know, hey, you know, hi, I'm Erin. Nice to meet you. I make sure to smile, you know, of course, and look pleasant. Whether or not I'm having a good day or not, you always want to make sure that, you know, it's customer service, essentially, just plain customer service. But always, you know, make sure to say, hey, I'm Erin, you know, I'm the legal recruiter here. So glad you were able to come and speak with me today. Let's kind of get started and just tell me about yourself. And so, you know, make them feel comfortable. I'll tell them a little bit about me. I always suggest to managers, any manager that I've ever worked with, you know, if they've asked me anything about getting, you know, comfortable with candidates, because, you know, some managers are a little more difficult than others, and they'll be like, well, why can't I ask them if they're married? Why can't I ask them if they have children? You know, I need to know if they're going to show up to work or not. And it's like, I totally get that, but that's illegal. But here's how you could maybe get that information and it not be illegal. You know, so I'll introduce myself and say, hey, you know, I'm Erin. You know, I've worked here for, you know, 8 or 9 months. I've been recruiting for 6 or 7 years. And I, you know, my favorite thing to do on the weekend is I like to jazzercise. And I have, you know, and I've been married to my husband for 5 years and I have 2 cats and a dog. And I'll be like, so why don't you tell me about yourself? And then they'll think, oh,
that's a stage.
You know, it's that social type thing. They're like, oh, well, I need to give them personal information. So then they'll respond back with personal information. So then you got it, and you didn't ask for it. So, but yeah, just getting them comfortable, and then I'll go through and I'll crack a joke every once in a while. I can tend to be very sarcastic and witty and funny occasionally. It depends on who you ask if I'm funny or not. My husband would just look at me and be like, no. But other people would find me funny. But yeah, and so just kind of make them just feel comfortable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
I know,
you know, go into, you know, what it is that they expect. What do they want? What is something they liked or didn't like about their previous job? And what is it that they're looking for in their future job? So, and that helps me match them because in essence I'm just a matchmaker. So
oh yeah. You are a matchmaker, and I really appreciate that you talking and at least, you know, smile to your candidates, smile to the person who is sitting in front of you, you know.
Oh yeah.
Look in the eye and talk to him. I really, really appreciate that. Most of the recruiters, they don't normally do that, which I don't know. So I mean, one thing that we wanted to ask you is the recruiter experience. You know, we normally talk about candidate experience and putting that those recruiters in a corner and say that, hey, you have to do this, you have to do that, and stuff like that. But just let's flip the coin. How can a candidate provide a better recruiter experience?
Oh, gosh. Come prepared. Show up on time. Don't make an appointment with me. And, oh, that's the number one thing. Don't make an appointment with me and then not show up. I hate that. Oh, I cannot tell you. I've had so many people just, like, no call, no show for an interview. And I'm like, really? If I knew you didn't care, then, you know, just let me know. I can schedule somebody else with that time. My time is valuable, too. The other thing that drives me crazy is when I talk with a candidate, and this happens, seems to be happening a lot with me lately. I don't know if it's just something I'm doing, but I'll interview a candidate, I'll do a phone interview because they may not, be around, and I'll talk with them, and then I'll go, okay, great. Well, you know, the next step of our process is I'll need your application, and right up into that point, they're all about answering me back and giving me a call back, and then they just drop off the face of the earth. I'd rather someone email me and say, Erin, I'm not interested in this position anymore, but I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. That's it.
Absolutely.
That's all I need. It's okay. Confrontation is okay. But I come from a family who's very confrontational. So confrontation, that's cool with me. Just shoot me an email or leave me a message that you're not interested, and that's fine. Because if you just ignore me, then that kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
That makes sense.
Yeah, another thing that drives me nuts is candidates who, they go through the whole process, and then they decide, for example, they're like, yeah, I could totally commute 45 minutes to work. And I'm like, okay, great, you're a perfect fit. They interview again, they get to the offer, and then they're like, no, I think 45 minutes is too far of a drive. And
what?
It's like, oh, yes, this happens all the time. Or here's another, they switch their salary up. So I had, I've worked with a candidate before that, you know, they would be like, oh, you know, $50,000 a year is totally fine with me. Yes. I'm like, okay. And I always have this conversation. That's the lowest, you know, I know this is, you know, you're not going to be insulted if they offer anything less, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. $50,000 is fine. They go through the whole thing. We get the offer. It's $50,000. No, I really wanted $65,000. No, that's not what we discussed. And another thing is that candidates don't know that if they reject an offer, so for example, if they try to counter, that they're really rejecting the offer that the client made to them in the first place. Mm-hmm. So some people will be like, well, no, you know, 50, no, you know, I need 65. And I'll be like, okay, so you know that if we go back and say you want 65, then that's it. Like they could say we rescind the offer, we're not going to come back. And some candidates just don't get that. And then, you know, I'll go to the client. They'll say, no, you know, 50 is it. And you know what? We're insulted that they would even ask for anything more. We're going to rescind it. Then I'll go back to the candidate, and I'll go, you know, they said no. And then the candidate will say, oh, you know, 50 is fine. Nope, it's over. It's come and gone. You don't understand. So that can be really frustrating at times. So be friends and tell the truth with your recruiter.
Absolutely. Be a friend because you are expecting the same from the recruiter, and why can't you, right?
Right.
So, Erin, it's been a pleasure. Had a wonderful conversation with you. We have about 1 minute left at this point, and you have your latest blog up on LinkedIn, How Not to Screw Up Your Resume. If you can give a little, maybe 2 or 3 points, that would be great.
Can you say that again? I totally, like, zoomed out. I was looking at my Twitter.
Okay, then leave it then. No problem. You're running out of time at this point. Erin, thank you so much. And how can our candidates that are listening to this show can connect with you so that they can get a help to get their dream job?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Erin M. Stevens. Pretty easy. First name, last name, middle initial. And you can also find me on LinkedIn as well. If you just Google me, you should be able to find me. I'm Googleable.
Mm-hmm. Googleable. I like that.
Googleable.
So that was Erin Stevens. Check out her Twitter profile. That is ErinMstevens. And follow her. And wonderful person to follow her and connect with her on LinkedIn. Stay tuned.